Job is right before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. When you have it, say amen. And it reads, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, one that escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." You may be seated. As I was studying the book of Job and preparing to preach on this morning, I thought about our pastor when he preaches, and how on Sunday morning when he finished, he always asks, "Is everybody in the house saved?" And most of the time, you know, when he extends the invitation, a lot of times we don't have people that come up, which is a good indication that 95 to 100% of the people in the church are already saved. But he asks us to look at our neighbor. He says, "Look at your neighbor and ask them, are they saved?" And then we say, "Answer me. If they say that they're not saved, bring them forth." Most of the time, no one comes forth. But when you're standing in this position and you're looking out in the audience, looking at saved people, 95 to 99% saved. You're looking at saved people, and you see expressions of sadness, expressions of discouragement, expressions of depression, expressions of unhappiness, expressions of pain. It seems like we feel like Job, that we've been placed in the hands of Satan. When you study the book of Job, chapters 1 and 2, we find that Job is not aware of some things that we are aware of when we read this book. We find that Job is not aware that there has been a conversation between Satan and God about him. Now, when you look at Job, I think it would be safe to say, if it was in 2012, we would say that Job is saved. Because it shows that Job is a believer, and Job was faithful to God. But even though Job is a believer, we know from living in this life that sometimes good things happen to bad-acting people. But you know, even though good things happen to bad acting people, when you flip that thing around, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Yeah. When you live this life, sometimes life can throw you a ball that's kind of like a curveball. It'll come to you and it'll look like it is coming straight at you. Look like it's going to be right in the right place. And then when it gets to you, it curves and it goes another direction. Yeah. You can be living life to the fullest, having a good day, but got a doctor's appointment today. And when you get there and you get the results of those lab tests and you get the results of those x-rays, it can change the expression on your face. Yeah. You can get up. You can have a good day. The sun is out. You're praying, thanking God for allowing you to see another day. Uh-huh. On your way to work, and you can get to work and some things can occur that can change your expression for the rest of the day, can change your expression for the rest of the week. I was talking to my husband on this weekend, and he mentioned that he had heard that Creflo Dollar, most of you all know him from preaching on TV, that he had been arrested because he didn't allow his daughter to go out at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know exactly what happened, but it led to him being arrested. A man who I would say is saved, but now a man who had to spend a night in jail, who now has a different expression on his face. People in the church are getting divorces. People in the church are unemployed and can't find a job. People in the church have 1 to 2 jobs, but they still can't make ends meet. People in the church who have friends in the church who have turned their backs on them. Well, if I was to pass a pen and paper around, I bet everybody could list something different that was going on in their life, even though they're saved. And sometimes the circumstances of life, sometimes the things that are going on in life can cause you to lose just a little bit of your joy. Sometimes the circumstances of life can just shake your confidence just a little bit. But God sent me this morning to let you know that he knows. And the message is simple this morning. God said the title of this sermon is God Knows. God knows this morning, and not only do he know, but God cares. Again, talking about the saved this morning. You know, sometimes we focus a lot on trying to draw the unbeliever to church. And sometimes we forget that sometimes the believer is going through some things too. We talk about Job. Job is described as a man who is perfect and upright. Perfect, not being blameless, but a man who is complete. And when you read Job chapters 1 and 2, not only is the writer saying this, but the writer is saying that God is describing Job in this way. God himself, the Lord himself says Job is a perfect man. He's an upright man. He's a God-fearing man. And he is a man that shuns evil. But Job is selected to go through a test. You know, a lot of times when preachers preach from the book of Job, they go the direction of talking about Job's patience. And a lot of times you will hear people make the statement that they see somebody going through, that person has the patience of Job. Or you have some people who say, I wish I had the patience of Job. But when you know, when you make a statement like that, I got a one-word question for you. And that question is, really? Do you really wish that you had the patience of Job? Because in order to have the patience of Job, there are some things that you're going to have to go through. You know, Job, when you read the book of Job, Job understood God because he was saved. I say he was saved. You know, Jesus hadn't come at that time, so I'll just call Job a believer. Job believed in God, and because he believed in God, I'm trying to figure out how to say this, he thought he understood God. Sometimes, saved people, when we've been coming to church, when we've been coming to Sunday school and Bible class and studying our word, we have a tendency to think that we know God better than we know God. And Job, he thought he knew God, but we find as you go through the story that he really didn't understand God. Now, on the other hand, God knew Job. That's why God had the conversation with Satan, and God offered up Job, not so that Job would fail, but God knew Job so well that he knew that he would not fail. You know, again, like I said, we focus on the patience of Job. But Job had some other attributes that I'd like to bring out. Job had integrity. Job had steadfastness and fastness. And then Job had a trust in God in the middle of going through. Sometimes when we're going through, we have a tendency to focus so much on the problem that we forget about who the problem solver is. And then, you know, we got to be very careful about who we listen to. You know, in the book of Job, you will find that as you get over into chapter 3 and 4, I think it is, Job's friends, just like our friends, if you really got a friend and you're going through, you expect that friend to come and to see about you. So here Job's friends, they heard about what he was going through. And so they came to see about Job. But when you read the story, you will find that when they got there and they looked at Job, they weren't prepared for what they saw. Everybody can't handle what you're going through, even though they may be your friends. It said that they were so shocked at what they saw that for 7 days, they couldn't say a word. Sometimes you got to be careful who you start confiding in, because when you start talking to friends and they can't handle your stuff, then guess what? They got an opinion. And then they start giving you their opinion. And then you start acting off their opinion. And the next thing you know, God has been left out. Job began to, when you see at the beginning when he talked to his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" Job said, he didn't call his wife foolish. But he said, "You're talking like the foolish people." But when Job began to talk to his friends, you'll find that his attitude kind of changed a little bit. Job developed a little attitude of sassiness. You know, when his friends started looking at his situation, the friends, I believe, were believers too. And when they saw what Job had lost, all of his possessions, all of his wealth, and most of his family, they were not crazy enough to say that God had done it. But they looked at it and they looked at the situation and they said, "Job, it must be something you done." Because that's what seemed logical. Again, when friends can't figure things out, they will begin to give you their opinion on what happened. You know, you on the job and there's a promotion come up and you didn't get it. You okay with it until people start telling you, you know what, you deserve that promotion. And so then now your thinking begin to change. You become a little sassy. You know, you want to talk some noise now. You know, you got a relationship. And now you and this person having problems and y'all working it out. But now she done start talking to her friends. He done start talking to his friends. And the next thing you know, now you about to break up because they done told her you too good for him. And they done told him all you need to be is a provider. She don't appreciate you. You know, you start listening to other people. And now your relationship is in trouble. And so Job began to listen to his friends. And when Job began to listen to his friends, he began to lose focus. And he started making some demands that he wanted. He said, "You know what? I wish I could talk to God face to face." He said, "That way, if I could talk to him face to face, I could defend myself." He said, "Because y'all are blaming me." He didn't say it like just like I'm saying it, but read the story. You'll get it. He said, you know, "Y'all are blaming me." But see, Job knew he hadn't done anything. He said, "I haven't done anything. If I could just talk to God face to face, then I could defend myself." But you know, Job found out that sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. As you continue to read the story of Job, you will see what God gave him, this opportunity to talk to him, not face to face, because no man can talk to God face to face and live. But it said that he talked to Job out of a whirlwind. And you know, I think Job probably figured out that sometimes it's just good to be quiet. It says that God, when you get over to chapter 38, and see, I'm almost through. I told y'all I was making up. Because all God wants you to know this morning that is no matter what you're going through, that he knows about it. And so when you get to chapter 38, God began to ask Job some questions. He called Job out, so to speak. He said, "Job, I got some things that I want to ask you." He said, "First of all, who are you, Job, to ask me, God, questions when your knowledge don't match up to mine?" He said, "Stand up. I got some things. Take it like a man. You wanted to talk to me face to face. Stand up. Because I got some questions that I want to ask you." He said, "Since you know so much, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? I can just imagine how Job probably looked at that particular moment. God, I don't want that expression. You wanted answers. I want some answers too. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Job, who measured the earth and stretched the line from one side to the other? If you know, I need for you to tell me. You see, Job, I can tell you the dimensions on the earth. But in order for man to know, one man got to stand on one side and another got to stand on the other side. Job, tell me. How do you know? How do you know? Who can do this, Job? How is it, Job, that the earth is kept into place and fastened to the foundation? Job, who laid the cornerstone? Job, how is it that the earth is sitting there rotating, but you're sitting there like you're sitting still? Job, how is it that the earth is not bouncing from this place to that? What keeps the earth in place? What keeps it connected to its foundation? Job, I want you to tell me. Job, can you tell me the common things in life? You know, I know you got your meteorologist, but do you really know where the rain come from, the hail come from, the snow come from, the lightning come from, the frost come from, and the ice come from? If you can tell me, I want you to tell me, Job. But then it said he asked Job a series of about 70 questions. Can you imagine a test face to face with God that you got to ask? You're going to be asked 70 questions. It said Job apologized. It said, Lord, I'll keep quiet. But God wasn't through with Job yet. When you get over into chapter 40, God said, no, I got something else I want to ask you. Job, do you have the right to question my judgment and talk about me just to show that you can look righteous? You made a demand that you wanted to stand up before me so that you can say that I'm right, that I haven't done anything wrong. Job, what gives you the right to think that you can tell me something that I don't already know? Job, I already know you. I know you inside and out. What you don't know, Job, you're in the predicament that you're in because I do know you. You're in this predicament because I knew that you wouldn't fail. And God wants his people to know this morning that no matter what you're going through, you're there because God wants you there. There is nothing that the devil can put you through that you can't handle. You hear the people say they won't put no more on you than you can bear. Yeah, you may not can bear it, but with God's help, there is nothing that you're going through that you can't handle. You know, sometimes we go through things and we wonder why. And sometimes we wonder, can we handle certain things? But you are there because you can. If Job was only able to read chapters 1 and 2, maybe he would have looked at things a little bit different. Well, couldn't we say the same thing? If we only knew what was happening in the spiritual realm, it might would explain some things that are going on in our life. But because we don't know, we're placed in a position where we got to trust God and know that God is in control. And when you know that God is in control, that's what you need to empower you to go forward. That's what you need to empower you to stick with him no matter what. He asked Job, do you have an arm like God? Job, are you as strong as I am? Can you do what I can do? Can you make your voice thunder like I can? These are questions God is asking Job. He said in chapter 41, verse 11, he said, that whatsoever is under the whole heaven is his. Throughout the Bible, you see where it says, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. Everything here belongs to God. And then when you get to chapter 42, verses 1 through 3, Job responds and he said, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job come to the realization that, you know what? I've spoken out of turn. I've said something, talking about something that I didn't understand. You know, it's always good to remain humble before God. We should never get to a point to where we develop a sense of entitlement. We should never get to a point to where we think that we as saved people can say, I deserve. Especially when we're talking about good things. We can never come to God and say, I've done something so well that I deserve this or I deserve that. Because, you know, if the truth be told, none of us could really handle what we deserve. Because God, being God, God knows your every thought. Those thoughts that you keep locked up in the closet, those thoughts that you reveal, those places that you go that you shouldn't go and think nobody else know, guess what? God knows. You go to those places and then you come in on Sundays as if you haven't done anything wrong. Guess what? God knows. God knows it all, but yet and still, he loves us. He wants us to know that he knows. He knows what you've been doing, but he also knows what you're going through because God cares. We sometimes wonder, when we're going through, is it something that we've done? You know, you go through something, I'm trying to do everything that's right. I'm reading my Bible. I'm coming to Sunday school, going to church, participating in ministry. I mean, what am I doing wrong? And why is it that this curveball have went this other direction with me? What is it that I've done? Sometimes we want God to just, Lord, can you just step in and fix it? Not knowing that God has to do things in his time. Sometimes when you're hurting real bad, you wonder, where is God's love? Where is his comfort and where is his embrace? But God wants to save people to know this morning that he knows and that he cares. There are some things you know about Job that you should remember other than his patience. Because as you read the story, you'll find that his patience turned into impatience. Yes. But you should remember that Job had integrity. Job had steadfast faith. You know, even though he was questioning some things, he never lost his faith in God. Even though we go through things, we should never lose our faith in God. You know, a lot of times when we start going through things, you know, I don't think there's anybody in here that have lost everything they've had. Maybe, but I don't think so. Job had lost practically everything. He was a wealthy man. He was a rich man. But he had lost his possessions. He had lost his family. And then his health had been attacked. He had lost all of these things. But yet and still, he could remain faithful to God, even though he was questioning some things. One thing can happen to us. And the next thing you know, we're not coming to church like we was coming. You know, it's kind of like you're cold, but you don't want to come to the fire. I mean, if things are going on in your life, the place that you need to be is the church. The people that you need to be around are church people. We need to be encouraging one another. Because how is it that you're going to get a word that will apply to your situation if you choose to stay at home? You see, I want you to remember those things about Job. But there are some things about Satan you need to know too. One thing is, he can do no more to you than God will allow. Satan is under God's control. Sometimes we give him much too much credit. We think, well, like the pastor said, the devil is busy. That's all right. He's still under the control of God. At the beginning of this chapter, he was coming to the meeting just like everybody else, reporting to God. And so you got to remember that Satan is under God's control. But not only is Satan under God's control, Satan got some limited power. And with that limited power, his goal is to destroy you. His goal is to sift you as wheat. Satan means you no good. That's why you don't flirt with wrong stuff. You don't mess with stuff that is against God's word. Because Satan will use that to drag you in. You've heard the expression, curiosity kill a cat? Well, it'll mess up your life too. I'm not going to say it'll kill you. But it'll make you go through something that sometimes you will wish that you were dead. Just because you flirted with sin just a little bit. If you know what you believe, if you got the faith you're supposed to have, stick with what you know. Yeah. There ought to be some things that's off limit to the devil. And your faith ought to be one of them. Amen. It ought to be some things that you know that are in this word of God. You may not can explain all of it, but because you know it, it ought to be some things you're not going to mess with. There should be some things that you're not going to do because of who you believe. the saved people. Sometimes we focus so much on the unsaved. But the saved people are struggling too.
Amen.
We're struggling too because life don't always appear to be what we call fair. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Even if it's not, it's under God's control.
That's right.
You know, no matter what you're going through, even if you don't understand it, you got to remember that sometimes bad things happen to good people.
That's right.
And even though bad things may happen to good people, God got it. God wants you to know this morning that he knows.
Right.
When you go to Isaiah chapter 65, you will read in there where God is giving Isaiah a prophecy for the future. And he's giving him a message to the people about what's to come in the kingdom. He said, you know what? I know you've been going through some things. You used to people taking your stuff from you. You used to experiencing death. He said, but it shall come to pass.
Yeah.
And that's what he's saying to you guys this morning. It shall come to pass. Things are not going to always be like this. He told the people, he said, it shall come to pass.
Yeah.
That while you're calling on God, he going to answer.
Yeah.
While you're talking, it said he's going to hear you. It's going to come to pass. Y'all know how we go back and forth praying over and over and over. It's going to come to pass that in the new life, that when you're talking to God, it's just going to happen just like that because of who God is. And so as Christians, we got something to look forward to. So we need to change our expression. You know, the pastor can see those expressions from up here. We need to change our expressions. We are saved, we should look like we're saved. We are saved, we should act like we're saved. We are saved, we should tell somebody else we're saved. We are saved, we should live like we're saved, and that'll tell it all. And so God is good this morning. I thank you for listening to me, and I just ask that you would take heed and be blessed.
Amen.